The Southern Fried Gaming Expo is this weekend. I'm sure you're wondering how that Billy Mitchell panel went. But E3 is this week, and we've already heard from Microsoft. Tonight is June 10th, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy OK says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I am so excited to learn what I'm going to be playing in 2019. That's what this week is all about. What are we going to be playing in 2019? Welcome to E3 Week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a pre-E3 Week edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. We're going to do both tonight. Hi, I'm Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, check us out over at live.vognetwork.com. That's our live interactive chat room. I'm going to be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you are logged into our site at VogNetwork.com, you can participate and check in and get some points on our June leaderboard. You can check in just like She-Hulk and SSJ100 Matt. They checked in at some point during the intro of the show. Thank you so much for being here. I know it's going to be a big night. We're not done with the night on E3, but if you're listening on the podcast feed sometime during the week while E3 is going on, realize we're taping this on Sunday night, so like we haven't seen much of the other press conferences yet, so there's going to be hopefully little speculation, and we'll just talk about what's already been out. But you're going to hear a passphrase somewhere in this episode, and you'll be able to put that passphrase in on the site and get the exact same amount of points. A little bit later on, depending on how long we go, I might open up the Skype line and the toll-free number for you can call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on the episode over at VogNetwork.com. And we actually did get a comment this past week on an episode, and I totally forgot to pull it up. So I'm going to pull it up right now and hope my computer likes me because I embedded 3 Twitch videos into that site, that page. So hopefully it didn't destroy me. But E3VL left us a comment on the episode, and he said about some of the stuff we talked about later in the episode of last week. My nephew is super excited about the new Let's Go Pokemon games. He's been envious of Pokemon Go players since his parents won't let him have a smartphone. So the new Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee games that Nintendo already kind of announced before E3. He's excited for them because he really wants to play Pokemon Go, and those games play like Pokemon Go, except you're sitting and you're playing on the Switch, which means you don't have to be mobile, you don't have to have a smartphone. He's nervous for Microsoft at E3 seeing the Nintendo Switch console dominance, huge first-party lineup from Sony, and rumors about Crackdown 3 being delayed. Hopefully Microsoft will surprise us. It seems like they're in a do-or-die situation. They have to win, can you put win in quotes, to say relevant, IMO, in my opinion. We will talk about Microsoft, because Microsoft, they were on stage just a couple hours ago. And we'll talk a little bit about Microsoft and what they've announced. And there's a lot of people that are just pumped about the games that they were showing there and some of the roadmap for the future. Good luck on the panel, Bobby. Don't be intimidated. He's talking about the Billy Mitchell panel. We're going to start with the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. Southern Fried Gaming Expo was this weekend. We were a gold sponsor of it, along with some friends like the Futurists. It's a pinball and arcade gaming and tabletop. It's a gaming expo. It used to actually be called the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. They changed it this year. It's now the Gaming Expo. And people go there to play classic arcade, classic pinball. A lot of people's private collections make it over here. They're all on free play, they can get the wear and tear of a real arcade. But they also had panels. They had some people that were, you know, big in pinball creation and arcade creation. Somebody from Data East was here, a legendary pinball. Like, I'm going to sit here and say a legendary pinball creator was here. And then I totally forgot his name. But, like, when I saw his name, I was like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. He made a lot of great pinball tables and designed a lot of great pinball tables. So I'm opening up the app and looking up guest speakers to see if I can recognize the name off the top that I didn't talk to. John Jacobson was there, who is from John's Arcade or Video Game Outsiders. If you listen to that podcast, it's been around for a while. Where is this name? Let's see here. I should have looked this up. Steve Ritchie from Stern Pinball was here and talking about that, designing pinball games, because he's still doing it. It's awesome. So they had a lot of people doing that, and I did a panel with the Futurisk people, which is VR and AR and mixed reality and stuff. Talked about some of that stuff, some of the non-gaming applications and things like that. So that was actually a good panel. And I guess I might as well go ahead and get to the point. Before I get there, I also want to give a shout-out to our friends over at the LTE Bridge, which does the Artemis simulator. They were there. They did actually some great business. They're at jump2warp.com. They will be at Dragon Con this year as well, hopefully with two Artemis bridges. So Artemis, if you've never heard of it, but you've heard of Star Trek Bridge Crew, Artemis predates Star Trek Bridge Crew by like a decade. Star Trek Bridge Crew is kind of a pared-down Star Trek-branded version of Artemis. So it's a live-action starship simulator, live-action role-playing meets video game, so you've got people with different roles, and everybody's got their own station with a tablet or a computer or something, and then there's a big projector view screen in the middle that shows what everybody's seeing, and it's like you're on the bridge of the Enterprise. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the big panel that I was stressing over, and that was the panel with Billy Mitchell and Walter Day, called Road to Redemption. So the short version is Twin Galaxies recently removed all of Billy Mitchell's scores from everything, which also affected the Guinness Book of World Records. So he's no longer in Guinness Book of World Records because they concluded that his scores were not done on an original Donkey Kong board. And he made some statements back in April, right when this came out, because I think it was the Midwest Classic Gaming Expo or the Midwest Gaming Classic Expo. I don't know exactly. It's the Midwest Gaming Expo or something. He was there that weekend. And he put out a video saying, you know, all this stuff, we're going to talk about it in due time. And I've got evidence and I've got to gather the evidence and then we'll show it to you. And he's been silent until this week. So I'm going to actually just kind of take you through the way it worked with me. Saturday night I go in. I actually go in and watch Bit Brigade. They were performing at 6, and my panel was at 7 with Billy Mitchell. And they actually didn't play Mega Man 2. Bit Brigade, a band out of Athens, they play Magfest a lot, where they basically speedrun a game and then play the music really loudly behind the speedrunner. Well, they played Zelda. And I hadn't seen Zelda in person, so I was excited. But I got about 30 minutes in, and then I'm like, okay, I got to go. And I go to my car, and I get my tripod and my video so I can film it and all that stuff. So I went in there, and I set everything up, and 6:45 comes around. I've got everything set up. I've got the name tags. I took some notes. I watched some stuff, and I took some notes on, what was what, the tapes, the scores that were in question, what the issues were about, girder fingers and, how they could tell it was MAME and some, myths and controversies and, things that were debunked but not, and then things that weren't. And, I got the official Twin Galaxy statement and all that stuff. So I was like, I'm about as prepared as I can be. 6:55, the entourage comes in. The entourage walks in. With Billy. Billy's got an entourage. Billy and Walter. And this guy, who didn't introduce himself to me, but he's part of Billy's entourage, comes up to me with a whole stack of papers. And he's like, oh, good, you're the moderator. So we got all these papers. And we got all this whole stack of papers. And here's the thing. Here's this, this, this. This is for you. And he hands me like a packet of 10 things. And I realize this is like at 6:53, 6:54, 6:55. And he's like, okay, and Billy really, you're allowed to ask whatever you want. And Billy came up to me. He's like, yeah, don't hold back. I can take it. Let's do this. Don't worry. And, he said, don't hold back. But then there were like a couple of points that Billy wanted to hit. And so if it didn't come up naturally, they wanted to make sure that I hit a couple certain points. And I'm, like, getting overwhelmed. And then they're showing me, like, emails that he's got printed out. And they're like, yeah, I mean, look at this. And I read this thing that's highlighted. And they look at this. And so blah, blah. While they're doing that, at 7 o'clock, Walter Day, the former or founder of Twin Galaxies, the original referee who retired in 2010, picks up the mic. And he picks up the mic and basically says, I've got a few words to say. So he starts the panel. I'm still getting coached over here by Billy Mitchell's team. And basically what Walter does is he basically acts like he's on the witness stand. He's a character witness. And he basically gives a 10-minute testimony about the character of Billy Mitchell, about why he believes Billy Mitchell has never used an emulator for scores, and all this stuff. And then finally, like, Billy and I get up on the table, and there's a seat for Walter on the table because he's technically on the panel. And then he's, you know, after the 10 minutes, he's like, okay, and now, Billy, let's go. And then Billy goes to the mic. He's like, all right. So here's what we're going to do. And he basically just starts. The first thing he does is he then explains that he doesn't do interviews. When was the last time you heard him give an interview? And he had kind of warned me about this, so I didn't say, because I told him that I interviewed him, and he's like, well, I've got a line about, you know, that I don't do interviews, so let's, you know, just let this go. Because he's like, when was the last time you heard me do an interview? Now, he actually did an interview for my podcast 3 years ago, but I didn't mention, I didn't, you know, try to derail what his point was. And he said, I have never spoken about this. I do not respond to these allegations, anything like this. I've never done this. I've never done an interview. Tonight I'm going to actually tell you, and I'm going to break my silence tonight. And then he said, I am here, and one thing I want to say, Breakman in chat says, you can ask me anything you want except that and that and that. No, no, no. They didn't tell me what I couldn't ask. They said, we would appreciate it if these points somehow got out during the panel. They did not tell me what not to ask, but they were like, hey, if you, you know, try to steer into this direction. So they did not tell me, they did not say, do not bring such and such up. They never said any of that. But Billy says, I am here against the advice of my lawyer. My lawyer told me not to be here and told me not to do this. Because he's got emails to back up certain things that people have never heard. And so what he then said is, all I ask, no recordings. And he looks right at my wife, who's sitting behind the camera that the Voice of Geeks Network has set up in conjunction with Southern Fried Gaming Expo. We shut off our camera. And he said, thank you. And now, to be fair, there was another camera in the room, and he approved that camera. So if this footage does go out, it will be from Billy Mitchell. So, and then he just goes. And he then starts talking about his side of the story. He basically gives his side of the story. And it boils down to, now realize, I have not said a word. It's already 7:15. I have not said a word. I'm just sitting up there. And then he starts. But he doesn't start with himself. No. He starts off with Todd Rogers. Todd Rogers, who was the first person that Twin Galaxies raced all the records because of the Dragster score. And also the Barnstorming score. And he basically spends 10 minutes defending Todd Rogers, who, by the way, was sitting in the room. I didn't get to meet him. He didn't introduce himself to me. That was not the person I was talking to, but he was in the room. So he spent 10 to 15 minutes defending Todd Rogers and saying, I fully believe Todd Rogers got that 5.51 score in Dragster. And then he finally gets to his stuff, and he's like, I've got emails here of people inside Twin Galaxies in 2009 wanting to talk to their Asian tech guy to create a Donkey Kong board that would take down Billy Mitchell. And he had those emails. And he basically said there were there are tapes. And what he actually claims is that the tapes that were examined by Twin Galaxies are not his tapes. They looked at the King of Kong tape. Well, he says that wasn't my score run. That was something we shot for the documentary. That was not the actual run. There was another one, and there was all direct feed, but it had a border because it had been edited, according to him. And he's like, I can't sit there and say it was or wasn't my gameplay because I don't remember exactly what I did, you know, in 2007. But those are not the tapes I submitted. And he says for the 2010 score that nobody can find that he did in an arcade in front of people, nobody knows where it is. They did not say that one didn't happen. They just have no evidence of it. And he basically says they have all these tapes. And what he surmises is that there was a huge exodus after Walter left. And people basically just threw things in the trash. And so he thinks the tapes might have been lost in 2010 by Twin Galaxies. They're still apparently trying to find them. What has been examined have been leaks. He did mention that the board that he used, the Donkey Kong board, he actually sent off to Nintendo to have it verified. Now, Nintendo wouldn't officially verify, but he has the emails from the Nintendo technician who did it on the side and verified that the Donkey Kong board was legit. According to Twin Galaxies, it wasn't a legit board. And then he talked about things like how some people take this way too seriously. Because he actually had emails of threats against him, which is silly because it's just a video game. But he can take it. But they threatened a 10-year-old girl. She was related to him, his daughter. They also got in the way of his son. And he says, I've got these emails because his son apparently is a really good football player. And he was recruited to play football at several colleges, many colleges. Some very highly prestigious ones, including my alma mater. And apparently what would happen is that people would email these colleges, the recruiters and the coaches, and try to convince them not to recruit Billy Mitchell's son. He had these emails. I saw them. They're not anywhere else. They're only in his hand. Like, I got to see them, but I didn't get to keep them. All over this Donkey Kong thing. So he's pretty much, you know, he's like, you're going after my family now. And you're actually trying to hurt my son's education. His son did get recruited. He's in college now. He's got a full scholarship. He also brought up that there was greed. There was a lot of money that was to be made on YouTube, especially, of people talking bad about his scores. They don't really care about his Donkey Kong score, but they love the money. They love the hits. And he's a businessman, and he's like, I'm not seeing any of this money. There's so much money being generated on YouTube hating on me. That maybe greed is more to do with it rather than the sanctity of scores. And Breakman's like, stop deflecting. What does that have to do with you cheating? He actually claims he didn't cheat because he says he doesn't turn in scores from home. Every single score he has ever turned in was done in a verified place. He's never turned in a score from home. He says he's actually gotten higher scores at home on his own Donkey Kong board, but he doesn't turn those in. He doesn't do that. So his claims are basically, I didn't cheat. Here's emails that prove that I was playing on legit hardware. There are actual tapes out there of my gameplay. Nobody has them. Nobody's looked at them. And he believes that even though Twin Galaxies, he claims, kept moving the goalposts because he kept giving them what they wanted. And they were like, oh, well, now we need to look at this. And basically, there was no, just like, and he says, quote unquote, just like with Todd Rogers, there was going to be no satisfying them. And Kai Judah says, why not call for people that were there to verify? He don't need the tape. And that's the thing, is that the reason there's no tapes is because he did them in the presence of Twin Galaxies referees. It's just now, today's Twin Galaxies don't think those referees were reliable. Because Todd Rogers was one of those referees. There were two Twin Galaxies referees present at some of those, at those scores. And in fact, the 2010 score, the high score that he got is 1.06 million, which, by the way, is 12th in the world. It's the 12th best Donkey Kong score. It's not even in the top 10 nowadays. That was observed by the owner of Twin Galaxies at the time, because Walter Day had already moved on. So the owner of Twin Galaxies watched that run, and they're telling him now it's not a legitimate run. So that's where he was coming from. And basically, he was giving all the story. I still have not said a word. Because, and he actually mentioned to me, he looked at me, he's like, aren't you supposed to be asking questions? And I basically said, nobody's here to hear my voice. They're here to hear you, and you seem to have your talking points that, you know, you've got your thing. And this is basically Billy Mitchell's side of the story. I was not there to represent Twin Galaxies. So, I mean, I know people in chat are probably going to be like, well, why didn't you challenge them on certain points? Because we'd be going in circles. Because he would give me the exact same answer he just gave 5 minutes earlier. Dungeon Bus says, so Billy is claiming the present Twin Galaxies is conspiring against him by moving the proof goalpost. Yes. He says that. He won't even name the current owner of Twin Galaxies. He won't call him by his name. This is the fourth owner of Twin Galaxies. So he will not call him by name. So basically it was a concerted effort because he believes Twin Galaxies is actually getting a lot of press for this, and that's getting him a lot of hits and a lot of money. Brickman says this is less of an interview and more than a statement. Yes, it was. And I was fine with it, to be honest, because everybody was, and it was a full house. They actually could turn people away. It was a fire hazard. More people couldn't get in. So it was a full house. And he even asked people to speak up, and nobody did. There was nobody in the room, and there were arcade operators in there. And he was going over my head on some of the technical details because he's really had to like immerse himself in learning the technology in the past couple months. And I didn't even have enough information or knowledge to interrupt him. SJ Wintermatt says he really strong-armed his way in the panel, didn't let Bobby do anything, which is too bad. Like I said, I was totally fine with it because I wasn't going to stop him. He was on a roll. He was not belaboring on one topic for too long. He was going from one topic to the next. And basically, any questions I had, he started answering. He started talking about, you know, scanners and conversion and scan lines and direct feed versus camera feed and all this stuff. And he answered, like, why is there no footage of the Boomer's Table? He answered that. He's like, there is. It might have been junked. Here, I've got emails that show that it might have been junked. I've got this proof. I've got these emails here. So I did finally get to, I did finally ask him a question, and it was about 7:45. Panel started at 7. And I literally asked him, the first question I asked him is, why should we believe a word you're saying? And that's when he looked at me and he's like, I've got these emails right here. Now, what I did wrong is I didn't ask him. I'm like, okay, where else are those emails? I should have asked him after we leave this room because he said anybody can come up here and look at these emails. Nobody actually did. Nobody came up to want and asked to see those emails. But I didn't ask him, where else are they? He did say there is currently an FBI investigation into some of the threats. And so I can understand those emails maybe not be available to the public right now because it's an ongoing FBI investigation. He might have also been, you know, told by his lawyer not to actually let them out. Brickman says, I doubt he would have let Bobby say anything even if Bobby knew all the tech. This was all about Billy. Actually, he would have. If he actually wanted challengers, I wasn't able to challenge him. JD asks, the FBI, what does the FBI care about this? There were threats against his family. There were death threats against his family. I actually saw some of them when I was able to flip through the emails. And there were threats against... The short version, if you missed the first part, is basically his son's a college football player now, but when he was being recruited, there were actually threats against the recruiters and the coaches of the people that were trying to recruit him. And those, the FBI is going into that because they're threatening they're also threatening his daughter, who is a 10-year-old girl. Yeah, JD, the FBI does not care about the cheating allegations at all. That's not what the FBI is investigating. So basically, I just asked him that. And then at about 8 o'clock, we were allowed to go 10 minutes over. And at 8 o'clock, I finally asked him a second question, is what is redemption to you? What do you want redemption to be? And then he kind of circled back and stuff. And then when I tried to end the panel, that's when he basically just gave some closing statements and stuff like that. Basically, I just, like, sat back. And everybody in the panel apparently liked it. I never introduced myself. I did not mention Vogue. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not even involved in this. I was up there. I cracked a joke once, made the room laugh after, 30 minutes of just heavy, hard-hitting stuff. It was a successful panel. So, yeah, it wasn't an interview. It was a statement. And honestly, that's probably the best way that could have gone. He also did want to mention, he mentioned several times about, and he brought up Steve Wiebe's name, if you remember the King of Kong. He brought up Steve Wiebe's name, but every single time he brought up Steve Wiebe's name, he said, Steve Wiebe has nothing to do with this. There is no beef between me and Steve Wiebe. He is not involved at all. He made it a point the three or four times he mentioned Steve Wiebe. He's like, this has nothing to do with him. He has nothing to do with this. He's not involved. There's no beef. Whatever. And that was the panel. So I really didn't get to ask much of anything, which is fine, because he was answering questions that I didn't even know there existed. I actually do have a packet that they gave me. I can probably go through the packet, because I actually, they let me keep one of the packets. Let's see here. Let me see what's in this thing, because it's got moderator written on it and stuff, and it's basically main points in Donkey Kong dispute, page one, page two. They've even got stuff like the board swap video has nothing to do with any of the scores. Talking about how all the evidence is inconclusive. They've got comments on Facebook from the current owner of Twin Galaxies, blah, blah, blah. There's probably like 20 pages in this damn thing that they handed me. They gave me like the traffic overview website for TwinGalaxies.com, maybe how many people are visiting Twin Galaxies and all. I don't know. And Dungeon Buster says Weeby's attitude to the whole thing is that he has nothing to say bad about Mitchell and is just happy to have his moment of fame. SJ Winner Matt says, what is Billy's next step? Did he mention that? He's got lawyers. Which is why he basically said that he was actually at this panel against his lawyer's wishes. So there's that. And the FBI is investigating the threats, which have, it's not directly afraid. People are threatening because of the cheating, but the FBI is not investigating the cheating. But those are the next steps. So he's going to get all that info out, apparently. This was kind of the start of his redemption tour. One of the questions that I had for Walter Day, and this actually came from Rob Roberts, and because Walter literally was not on the panel, I didn't get a chance to ask him during the panel. But after the panel, there was a VIP event where I got a nice plaque from Southern Fried Gaming Expo because we've been longtime sponsors and they wanted to give us some appreciation, which was really, really nice of them. Thank you so much to them. But I got to talk to Walter a little bit. And by the way, Billy actually thought the panel went great. He thought he really respected the way I handled it. He thought that he liked it, and I did not hear a negative thing from the people in the panel. I expect that the negativity will come if the panel video goes online. I expect that's when the negativity towards what I was doing would happen. But me, when I was in the panel, I decided the best thing to do is to let somebody just talk and bury themselves if they're going to bury themselves. If they're willing to do that, I don't need to interject. I don't need to interrupt. And nobody in the crowd was yelling back, so I didn't have to do crowd control, which is also, I think, the reason I was there, was to kind of calm down the crowd, bring everything back if things got heated and testy, but nobody said anything in the audience. Everybody was just sitting there stone-faced. But I did ask Walter at the VIP event, because he was also very happy with how the panel went. And so we got to talk, and it's kind of funny because I also mentioned to Walter I used to be on All Games Network and had to listen to all the Roy Schilt stuff. he actually loves Scott Rubin. He loved All Games. So he warmed up to me even more knowing that I was a part of the All Games Network, and Vogue kind of came out of the All Games Network back in 2012. And he actually even told me a story about the whole Roy Schilt, Mr. Awesome, and how, like, Walter actually really liked Roy and wanted Roy to be successful, and just Roy was not able to – Roy was standing in his own way and stuff. So he was just like, there was no defense. I'm just letting Roy be Roy. And stuff. So, and he has a lot of respect for Scott Rubin and what All Games has done. But I asked him the question that I had for him on the panel, if he had been on the panel. And this came from Rob Roberts. And the reason I'm saying this is because he answered it, and he's like, yes, you are absolutely allowed to quote me. So the question actually was, Walter, if you were in charge of Twin Galaxies today and this came out, how would you have handled it differently? And he basically said, well, I'll tell you exactly what I did when this happened. And he said in 2006 or whatever, Steve Wiebe, the other guy, who nobody has a beef with, submitted a score, a very good score, from that Donkey Kong cabinet in his garage. And as you saw in the movie, Twin Galaxy official came in and saw that it was a combo board. It wasn't the actual certified Donkey Kong board. So in essence, the score he submitted was not played on the correct hardware for that leaderboard that he was on. It was a combo board between Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. So what Walter did is, instead of making a public spectacle or, you know, character assassination and all this stuff that's been going on recently, he created a new leaderboard. And he moved that score over to this score was gotten on a combo Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr. board. That's what he would have done here. He would have moved the scores to whatever board configuration instead of doing a character assassination or anything like that. So that's the difference. And so that was his answer to that question. If I had gotten asked that question on the panel, that was the answer he would have given, and he did give me permission to repeat his answer here on the show. So basically, this did happen in Walter Day's time, and that's how he handled it, and that's how he would have handled these disputes going forward if he had still been in charge. So, so that was the Billy Mitchell panel that maybe one day you'll see on video. I don't know. It is up to the Billy Mitchell camp about the video. And if it gets posted up, it may be posted by Southern Fried Gaming Expo. It may be posted by somebody else. I don't know. But realize I probably only said about 30 words the entire time. I was not really a moderator of the panel. I was just basically there to help wrap up when time was up. And I tried to wrap it up, and we went 10 minutes longer. It was not my greatest performance, but I think the crowd liked hearing the unfiltered, uninterrupted Billy Mitchell. All right, so I'm jutting in here for just a quick minute. This is actually not part of the live show, so nobody's heard this. I'm actually recording this while I'm editing the podcast on Thursday. There has been an article put out on Variety about this panel. It does name me. He actually had some remembrances more than I did. One of the things I actually wanted to correct here and not wait until next week is when I kept talking about the 10-year-old girl and saying it was Billy Mitchell's daughter, it's not. It's actually somebody else. And what the threats to the FBI that the FBI are investigating are actually they weren't threatening the recruiters and stuff that his son was going to college for because of his Donkey Kong score. There are people that are actually claiming that Billy Mitchell is a pedophile because of some sort of relation with that 10-year-old girl that he claims didn't happen, and there's no evidence of it happening. So the 10-year-old girl is mysterious. We don't know who she is. I don't know the relation, but apparently people believe he had a relationship with her, and so that's kind of what the FBI is investigating. So I kept calling her his daughter because I thought for some reason it was. It's not. And so there's some references to that earlier in the podcast from the live show on Sunday night that I did, and I've gotten a little bit of clarification. So I'm going to take you back. Actually, we're going to play the passphrase that you can enter on fognetwork.com, and then we're going to get you back to the rest of the live show as it aired on Sunday night when we knew Microsoft's press conference, but not anybody else's or anything else at E3. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase PART. There was going to be no music break tonight. I knew there was going to be no music break tonight. I didn't even waste time setting a bumper or a music break. But that's what it was. You know, that's how that panel went down. And maybe it'll come out, and then, you know, I can push for the emails. The only thing I regret is I didn't follow up on, because he held the emails in his hand, and it's like, I've got all the proof right here in my hand, and I did not follow up and ask, well, where are those going to be after this panel is over? I didn't ask that, and I should have, and that's my regret. That's the one thing I wish I had done, because I did actually have the opportunity to ask that question. There was a little bit of a silence. I could have put it in, but I did not think fast enough. So, yeah, so that's basically all I can say about that. I know this is E3 week, but that just happened last night. Everybody there seemed, you know, happy with the way the panel went. You know, people that are more sympathetic to Billy's side will probably like the panel. People who are firmly on the Twin Galaxies side probably hate the fact that he wasn't challenged more. But anybody in the audience could have challenged him, and it was a standing-room-only crowd. They were turning people away at the door. Anybody could have challenged him. He actually asked people, please yell out if you have a challenge. Please ask me a question. And nobody's asked him questions in person. E3's this week, by the way. Why don't we switch gears? We talked about the pass and girder fingers and scores from boomers and mortgage brokers and all this stuff. Let's change gears. Let's talk about what we're going to be playing from now and playing from the future. Microsoft's press conference was actually today, and it was a couple hours ago. I missed a little bit of it because I went back down to the convention today to kind of see everybody off. Especially because they were nice enough to give me a plaque. I'm like, I should come and play some more games. So Microsoft's press conference was today, and they actually showed a lot of games. Now, what's funny is my favorite Twitter account satire Twitter account, which is going to be going away after this week. He is retiring, whoever's doing this account, but the CEO Kaz Hirai account, which is basically a parody of the former CEO of Sony Entertainment. He's now the chairman, but this account, he's still there. He basically said, I want to do one more E3, and then I'm going to retire and ride off into the sunset. He called today the PS4 third party conference, and then that's definitely the best conference of E3 2019. I'm going to miss that account. I'm going to miss that account. But they actually showed a lot of games, and yes, there was a lot of third party games. But what they're kind of doing is like they are trying to position themselves as the Xbox One is going to be the best place to play these games. A lot of the games also are going to be on Windows 10, so you don't necessarily need an Xbox One to play it, but they want you to be able to play them in a Microsoft ecosystem. I think that's what they're really going for. But they've heard about people saying, well, there's not enough, you know, first-party titles, and they hear that, and they hear that. So what they did is, in true Microsoft fashion, they bought up people to answer that question. So they're starting a new studio called The Initiative, and it's being actually the former head of Crystal Dynamics, Daryl Gallagher. He's actually going to be heading up this new studio to make first-party titles for Microsoft Studios. But they also bought several others. Undead Labs, which did State of Decay. Playground Games, which does the Forza Horizon series, which we're going to get into Forza Horizon 4 in a second. Compulsion Games, who did We Happy Few. And the big one, Ninja Theory. You know, people like behind Devil May Cry and stuff like that. And then they showed Devil May Cry 5 from a different developer. But Ninja Theory is now joining Microsoft. And so first-party games, Ninja Theory games, you will only be able to play on Xbox One and Windows 10. I'm assuming also Windows 10. One game that they did announce, which everybody's going crazy over, is Battletoads. They're finally bringing back Battletoads, and Rare is one of their internal studios. So Battletoads is coming back sometime in 2019. Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming in January of 2019. Crackdown 3 is coming out in 2019. 2019 is going to be a great year for gaming. And then at the very end, they actually said, yes, we do have a new console in the works. Duh. It's surprising that they actually said it out loud, but the fact is, Sony's next console, the PlayStation 5, has been in development for years. The Xbox 2, or Xbox One Squared, the Xbox Squared, I don't know, that's been in development for a couple years. It just has. The successor to the Switch probably started development last year. I guarantee you. Microsoft actually came out and said it. So take that for what you will, but everybody's like, oh, now nobody's going to want to buy an Xbox One because they know there's a new console on the horizon. Well, newsflash, you're never going to buy any technology. You're never going to buy any phone. You're never going to buy any phone because the minute the iPhone X came out, the successor to the iPhone X probably was already in development. They probably had a different team working on that. And you'll probably see it in 6 months. I don't know. So don't worry about that. Now, the game I wanted to talk about, because this is a game that I like, and there was actually some more information on Twitch's E3 coverage after the conference. Forza Horizon 4. Not Forza Horizon 5, Walmart Canada. Forza Horizon 4, which we all kind of knew was happening, because Forza, it's on a yearly basis. The motorsport years games come out in odd-numbered years, and Horizons come out in even-numbered years, and we're in an even-numbered year. It's called Forza Horizon 4. It takes place in Britain. And the big thing they showed was seasons. So you could have there are four seasons in the game, and that changes what parts of the landscape are available. So like in winter, the big ocean is iced over, so you can drive over it, and you've got new tracks there, but they're not there in the summer. And then they also showed that it's a massive online world. So it's a persistent online world, and that way when you're in the open world, it's other people. It's actual other people playing Forza Horizon at that time, and that's how you play the game. And then there's these live challenges, which are kind of like Fates in Final Fantasy XIV, is really what I thought of when I first saw it. Is that this Forzathon live blimp will show up over an area, and everybody goes to it, and then they all have to go complete a quest or something. So it's very much like the Fate system in Final Fantasy XIV. So any MMO fans out there, you'll get that. You know, and Dungeon Buster says, Forza Horizon 4 looks cool, and I don't even go out of my way to play racing games. Here's the thing, is that, you know, I was actually kind of bummed about it. Because, like, it looked great and stuff, and I love the idea. But when they were like, oh, yeah, and here's all the people that are going to be playing at the same time, it was going to be like Destiny. You know, one of those Destiny or Anthem or whatever where, you know, everybody, you can't play by yourself. And they even said playing solo is great, but playing with others is better. And I'm like, no, I want the great experience. I don't necessarily want the better experience. And I was kind of being like, man, this is really sad. I mean, like, I didn't like the Drivatar system, but I'd rather face against Drivatars than actually be forced into always playing online. Then there was Twitch. And they showed Forza Horizon 4 on Twitch. And they came out. And the guy was on there. And he's like, yeah, there was a couple things we didn't mention. Number one, it doesn't require online. Yes, the game is designed to be a persistent online world. But if you're not online, you fall back to the Drivatar system. The entire game can be played offline. You're not required to be online at all. You will face against Drivatars if you're not online. If their servers go down, you don't stop. If your internet goes down, you don't stop. Doesn't lose your progress or anything like that. It's not always online. Now the seasons, basically there's transitions for seasons, and this is kind of one of the things that they didn't exactly answer, but seasons in the game actually last a week. So for 1 week, it'll be autumn, and then the next week will be winter, and so the tracks will change, and then spring, it will, you know, and then spring and summer and all that stuff. So basically, once every 5 weeks, it'll be winter. And then they even said, then it will change from then on, so no two winters are going to be the same. They claimed that all game modes will be accessible at all times, but didn't elaborate. So if I really liked the autumn track, the autumn circuit race or whatever. They did not explicitly answer on that stream if I'd be able to do that at any time or if I could only play that track once every 5 weeks. I don't know. In terms of if you do want to play online, basically everybody's ghosted. So, like, nobody can grief you. They can't, you know, but then once you go into a co-op mode, then collision detection's turned on. They did actually say if you are playing online and you're in the open world and you're online, you can still pause the game. And it actually pauses the game. It doesn't just, like, bring the pause menu up over and everything's happening around you. Your car basically just turns into a ghost and it goes in, you know, and stays in one place. You can also rewind if you're doing an online race. Now, it doesn't rewind everybody, but if you completely miss a corner, you can rewind and redo that corner. You'll still lose time, but you're not going to lose as much time as if you basically slammed headfirst into a wall and need to get out of there. So that gave me a little bit of hope. I wish I was at E3 to ask the question so they could say we have more information later. But it's coming out in October, and I'm going to really enjoy playing it. Breakman says, so while you're opposed, all your friends will have left you, paused you, all your friends will have left you far behind. Well, yes, because that's what happens when you pause an online game, but you can still pause it. In a race, you can't pause. But if you're just in the open world part, where basically you're just driving from one race to one race, which there's an open world in Forza Horizon 3 and 2 and 1. They're all open world games. But if you're in the online open world games, you can pause it still. Because you're dumped into, I think they said the servers have 72 people. So you're basically in a server with 72 people. And they do prioritize friends and favorites and stuff to be in that server. So you can be on the same server with your friends. And then as, like, the population moves around the map, then you'd be on different servers. So you're actually in with servers with other people. It's going to be on Xbox Game Pass. They actually announced some new games on the Xbox Game Pass. Breakman even brings up there's a $1 Game Pass trial. So you can actually get Xbox Game Pass for $1. And he's like, I got to see how long it's going to last. I actually looked at it on the Xbox One today, and I think it's for 9 more days. I think that $1 price is available for 9 more days from right now. So they did actually push Game Pass. They pushed a way to start your games faster, and then, you know, other announcing more games. Fallout 4 is on it now. I feel so sorry for people with bandwidth caps because, like, these games are like 40 to 50 gigs. And if you're like me and you only have a 1 terabyte data cap, like I do with Xfinity, and I have no competition in this area, so I can't change it. That means hope you don't want to play more than 12 games on this Game Pass in a month. So that was that. We've got a couple other, you know, other things. EA had their press conference yesterday. Command & Conquer is back on your phone. Hooray. I didn't actually get to watch that because I was out at Southern Fried Gaming Expo playing games. But Fallout 76 has been announced, and we're going to learn more about that in about 45 minutes from now. But I think it's actually an online multiplayer game. I think it's like some people are like, I don't know what the latest rumors are, but it's like something like it's a survival game, like Rust is like the rumors I heard, rumors and speculation, which all will be moot in 45 minutes. So I shouldn't even really be talking about it on the podcast because by the time you listen to this podcast, you know what Fallout 76 is. I don't yet. Tetris Effect is the new Mizuguchi game. He's the guy that made Res Infinite and Luminous and stuff. And so it's a Tetris game, but it's trippy. And it's going to be on PlayStation VR. It's going to be on in PS4 Pro and 4K. It's going to be great. But the true game of E3 is going to be the fact that there's 70,000 people attending E3 and 12 metal detectors. Good luck, E3 attendees, getting into the Los Angeles Convention Center. I wish you so much luck. There are literally only 12 metal detectors for 70,000 people. So I didn't get to take any calls, but really, did you really want me to stop talking about Billy Mitchell for you to call in? But we do want to check in with Orange Sounds Radio real quick. We don't want to spend too much time because they want to get like 30 minutes in before Bethesda starts and just interrupts them. So we're going to check in with them and see how they're doing. So, Sacramento, you guys there?
I hope so. How are you, Bobby?
I'm doing well. Are you ready for your shortened show?
My body is ready.
That's Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Loki's mic's off.
You picked up the wrong mic, Loki. You're on this blue one, remember?
I'm ready for a nap. Does that count?
Blue's only been your color for the 6 years. Sorry about that.
Sorry. I would have asked the questions, Bobby. I would have been that jerk in the audience. I would have asked.
I wish you were there then.
You know what? For what it's worth, Bobby, the whole like getting railroaded as the moderator, that exact same thing happened to me on a recent panel I did at a Sinister Creature Con in Stockton with Barry Bostwick and Nell Campbell and Terrence Zudinich from Repo the Genetic Opera. It was like a cult movie panel. And they just came in and they just took over. And it was like, I was like, why am I even sitting here?
Yeah, I didn't even need to be sitting there. Yeah. But I guess they had me up there just in case crowd control needed to be had.
Just in case you had to banhammer somebody.
Right, and I didn't have to.
That's good.
So, but nobody knows who I was because I never said my name. I never mentioned Vogue. Like, I was actually supposed to get, like, 5 minutes at the beginning to talk about Vogue. Like, that was kind of the deal. But Walter Day started the panel before I was even done being talked to by their handlers.
Same thing happened to me, and I still got all the compliments. And oh, you were a great moderator. Oh, you did such a good job. And I'm like, I literally didn't do shit, but thank you.
Thanks for cursing.
Oh, sorry.
That's twice as if it's not me.
As if the story of your panel wasn't bad.
I'm going to have to banhammer you from this panel. Can't believe you.
Sorry, Bobby.
But it was great. But see, you know, the reason like I set back because he also said nobody's heard this before. None of you know this because it's none of like. And the thing is, what's funny is all the stuff he says, like you can look at the Twin Galaxy statement and even all of the stuff Billy says can fit in there because they crafted the Twin Galaxy statement so well that they're not lying. They're just not telling the rest of the story. And that's what he was there to tell. And I'm like, why should I interrupt this?
And they've taken it on, like, I'm sure this is like the fourth time they've done it, too, because you said there were other panels that you were aware of in different parts of the country before this. So this is like literally like the professional wrestling of classic gaming right now.
Well, he actually said he hasn't done any other panels like this because the other appearances were like right after it came out. And he's like, I don't have the information.
Oh,
he didn't have the email. So this is the first time he actually had the he had the receipts in his hand.
I have the receipts.
And I saw, I got to read some of the receipts, but I didn't get to keep the receipts, obviously.
I see.
But they were there.
Right.
So, it was not my finest hour, but everybody there thought I did great.
Yeah, no, sometimes you just, you realize, well, I mean, I know you know this, but they're not there for you. They're there for the talent, and sometimes they just take over. You know what
I mean? And literally, that was the second sentence out of my mouth, because he looked at me like at 7:35, 35 minutes into the panel. He's like, aren't you supposed to be asking questions? And I'm like, I'm just sitting here listening. Nobody here is here listening to hear for me. that was literally the first thing out of my mouth. I'm like, nobody here wants to hear my voice. And then I told him I'm actually up there as a Billy Mitchell cosplayer, and I flipped my hair and got a laugh out of the entire room. So, you know, that kind of helped, you know, lower the gravity, you know, cut the tension a little bit.
Good. Well, it sounds like you did a good job. I mean, for, you know, what little bones they threw you.
Yeah. So, and it's just I didn't know enough of the technical things. And they basically just threw out, like, oh, yeah, those tapes that they looked at, I'm not even sure those are my tapes, you know, because they were leaked. Nobody knows where any of the official Twin Galaxies tapes are. They have a leaked version, and that's what they looked at.
As the Twin Galaxies turns.
That's right. So, but yeah, E3.
That's right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, it's here. We're in the middle of it.
Are you glad you don't have to go through one of the 12 metal detectors that all 70,000 people have to go into in L.A.?
I saw that picture too, but wasn't there more than just that entrance? Like, if I remember right, couldn't you get in on the South Hall side
there's
too?
There's like four or five ways to get in the place.
Having just been in that convention center, all of the main entrances have metal detectors on them now.
Uh-huh.
So you have maybe a row of like 12 of them for every main door that they have.
Okay,
and there are separate exit doors though.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it was. It's the same place that DragCon was at.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were only in the one hall, but I think they have other doors blocked off.
I never knew that DragCon would be useful for gaming, but here we are.
See? But it was something I made a note of and then forgot to say about. But yeah, and I have a feeling that since everything can be accessible through one hall,
yeah.
I think the other main hall has another series of detectors there.
Gotcha. So 24. 70,000 people will be going through 24 metal detectors.
Well, one of 24.
Yeah. I'm still glad I'm not going through all that.
Yeah, I'm perfectly content watching from the couch. So. Yeah.
So Bethesda is going on tonight. What are you guys going to be doing when Bethesda takes over the stream in 30 minutes?
Well, we're gonna hopefully get in some of the talk about EA and Microsoft just beforehand, and then we will actually be commentating with Bethesda. Hopefully, we don't usually do that in the years that Bethesda's interrupted our show, but you guys kind of asked us to this year, so we thought we'd do something new. We listen to our audience once in a while.
Only once in a while.
Just once here and there,
We're gonna keep asking. When's Skyrim coming out on more platforms?
No, so this is, I don't know if you, there was a tweet, and I did not write this tweet, but it was about Fallout 76, and I thought this was hilarious, and it was like, here's Fallout 76. Basically, you go, you know, the things go on, and then you get sent into Vault 76 right at the beginning, you know, the whole, you know, first part is where you're going into the vault, right? And then it's like, oh, yeah, no, we're actually doing an experiment. And they take you, and you have to. They lock you down in front of this computer, and then on this computer, the person you're playing, the eyes open, and you're in a wooden cart, being taken down, and then it says Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. Fallout 76 is just you playing Skyrim in Vault 76.
I love it.
Todd Howard does it again. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks
That's
so
right.
much.
In chat called it offensive language radio.
That's right.
Check it out.
Thanks for making me edit. All right. See you guys.
Thanks, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I am going to be back Sunday night. Next Sunday night, we'll talk all about what we talked about at E3, what we saw, all the new stuff. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. I don't have a video to show you the Billy Mitchell panel, but maybe I'll... I'm not going to stream anything. It's E3 week. Go watch other people's streams for E3. You can also submit feedback on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com, just like E3 VL did, and we read it at the top of the show. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters. Thank you so much for being here. Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Ronma, Rob Roberts, VXJ6V, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, JD, Tiger Claw, Acteft, Bacon Bits, Bull, Brad from Pod Culture, Dark Sakura, Dungeon Buster, E3inator, Eric RPG, Kaijudo, Breakman who needs to learn to spell, Ellen Orkard, MXC, Orange Wright, Sita, She Hulk, Spiffy, SSJ 100 Matt, and Zeba. E3, it's going to be, let's try to be positive. E3's, it's going to be a great week to see all the games we're going to be playing in February of 2019. It's going to be great. See you this week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.